السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This is my third lecture in the series entitled Divinity of Jesus Christ. Peace and blessings of God be upon him. So far, I have discussed in this series two arguments that refute the divinity of Jesus Christ from the perspective of Muslims. The book that is part of this lecture series that we're studying from is entitled Kasre Salib, which is in Urdu, which is a compilation of writings of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that talk about Christianity, that talk about Christian beliefs, and why Muslims disagree with some of those Christian beliefs. And one of those beliefs, obviously, is the divinity of Jesus Christ. So in today's lecture, I would like to discuss three further arguments. That's the third argument, fourth argument, and fifth argument that refutes the divinity of Jesus Christ from the perspective of Muslims. All these three arguments come from one verse of the Holy Quran, which is chapter 5, verse number 76. This would be verse number 75 in some Qurans, because the Ahmadi Muslims number their verses in our numbering. We include Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim as the first verse of every surah, so that affects the numbering. But anyways, this is chapter 5, verse 76, where Allah says, "Mal Masih ibn Maryam illa Rasul qad khalat min qablihi ar-Rusul wa ummuhu Siddiqah kana ya'kulani at-ta'am unzur kayfa nubayyinu lahumul ayati thumma anzur anna yufakun." The translation is, the Messiah, son of Mary, was only a messenger. Surely messengers like unto him had indeed passed away before him, and his mother was a truthful woman. They both used to eat food. So see how we explain the signs for their good, and see how they are turned away. Now, there are three arguments. Let's break it down, this verse, piece by piece. The very first argument from this verse, which refutes the divinity of Jesus Christ, is found in the words, "Mal Masih ibn Maryama illa Rasul," the Messiah, son of Mary, was only a messenger. "Qad khalat min qablihi rusul." This is a phrase which is very important. "Qad khalat min qablihi rusul." Messengers like unto him had indeed passed away before him. So the argument here is that it is the sunnah, or the practice of God, to send messengers. And the Messiah, son of Mary, Jesus Christ, was also a messenger. And like those messengers who had passed away before him, Jesus Christ also passed away. This is a bit of a technical argument. The argument is that it is against the sunnah. It is against that natural process for God to suddenly send a son. A literal son to the people, when in fact he had been sending prophets before. One after another, the prophets came, and we can make an argument based on observation that what we have seen in the past should occur again. Right? This is how scientific inquiry happens all the time, that we see, we observe, and then we predict that this is how things have happened in the past, and this is how it will happen in the future. This is especially true in chemistry, where you put two compounds, two chemicals together, or two elements together, and they make a compound. And this is how they always, you know, characteristics. You know, I don't want to go into too much into this, which distracts us from the real argument. So coming back to the real argument, the argument is that we have seen God send prophets one after another, and he sent Jesus Christ as well. And there is nothing extraordinary about Jesus Christ. There is nothing extraordinary about his life. There is nothing extraordinary about his miracles. There is nothing extraordinary about his language, about his claims, about his, about what he did, about how he lived, how he was born, how he was
grew up, how he died, all these things were natural. And, you know, I am getting into other arguments that we have, but these are all arguments that are linked and reinforced here as well, that just like other messengers who passed away before Jesus Christ, he also passed away. He also was just another messenger. This is called istiqra. This argument is called istiqra in the Urdu language, which the promised Messiah alayhi salam uses, where he's talking about how we observe different things happening in nature, and we can deduce that this is what happened in this case as well. This is a logical argument. This is a logical understanding that is drawn from this. Of course, this argument itself is probably not enough to totally refute the concept of the divinity. But when we add all these arguments together and put them together, it's just unbreakable. The arguments against the divinity of Jesus Christ are just unbreakable in that sense. Now, from this same verse of the Quran, moving on to the next phrase, this verse says, "Wa ummuhu siddiqa." Jesus Christ had a mother who was a truthful woman. Just this segment alone, this phrase alone, can be considered an argument in and of itself, that just because Jesus Christ had a mother, it itself proves that he was not divine. In order for him to be perfectly divine, it would have made more sense to make the argument that Jesus Christ has no father and no mother. But the fact that he had a mother, the fact that he was born out of the womb of a human mother, itself negates the divinity of Jesus Christ, right? At this point, when we present these kind of arguments, Christians tend to respond by saying that Jesus had a human nature and a divine nature. But I will try to discuss this. I believe I did discuss this in my previous lecture series on Tawheed and Trinity, and I will try to discuss this in this lecture series as well, that this argument that Jesus had a divine nature and a human nature is self-contradictory. There are problems with this kind of statement, because then by what happens is we start pocketing statements of Jesus. We make two boxes. One box is those statements where Jesus supposedly claims to be divine, and another box of statements where Jesus supposedly makes statements that make him human-like. And now there's a problem, because now these are contradictory statements. They are contradictory statements. In some cases, they're totally opposite to each other, and it becomes more of a problem. Instead of solving this problem, it makes this problem worse. And great theologians in Christianity have actually made this argument, which is very interesting, that, you know, Jesus had two natures. And, you know, then we have a problem where, for instance, Jesus says, Jesus is praying before he was crucified, the night before he's praying to God, for the cup to be taken away from him. He says, "Please take this cup away from me, not as I will, but as you will." I mean, something like that. I'm not quoting this. This is not my part of my lecture today. I'm not quoting this directly. So what is going on there? I mean, was it the human nature now talking to the divine nature of Jesus? How does that work? It becomes really, really, really confusing when we get into that. The fifth argument in our series, and which is the third argument for today's lecture, which is coming from the same verse, chapter 5, verse 76, is kana ya'kulani ta'am. This is the next phrase in this verse, which means that both Jesus and his mother used to eat food. This again is an argument in and of itself, that how can a person who used to eat food be divine? This shows dependence. I mean, given that he was born as a human, given he somehow became God incarnate, or given that he took on flesh and became human, so to speak, now he's eating food as well. You know, it just gets really absurd to think that God did all of that, and now he's eating food as well. What is the point of that? right? To really, you know, I mean, unless he is a human being, why would he be doing that? Why would he go to that stretch? So it's just very confusing when things are seen in detail, when the Christian ideas and Christian beliefs are dissected. So the Quran is saying that they both used to eat food, and that proves that they are human beings. Human beings need food to survive. God does not need food. God is, the Quran says, Allahu Samad. Allah is the independent, the only independent being. Everything else is dependent on that independent being. How can that independent being start eating food? This is something that is a requirement for human beings. Food is eaten, is digested, some of it goes into our bloodstream, it has nutrients, it has calories which need to be burnt. So all these things are what is the essence of a human being. How can we attribute such things to God? How can we attribute such things to God? Right? I mean, it goes back to that other argument. I don't know if it has been made yet in this series or in another series, about Jesus actually openly declaring his divinity and showing or demonstrating that divinity. And none of that is happening. Instead, he keeps on demonstrating his humanness, the fact that he's a human being. That is what is demonstrated throughout his life. It is very difficult to see anywhere. In fact, impossible to see anywhere where Jesus is actually demonstrating the fact that he is divine in the absolute literal sense. I mean, all prophets are divine in some sense, in the sense that they are manifestations of God's power. Sure, that happens with all the prophets. But to literally be God and to demonstrate that he is God, that is not happening in Jesus's life. We don't see it happening from the Muslim perspective. This is not happening. This is not something that we observe in his life. We see even the Gospels talk about Jesus eating food. In the Gospel of Luke, for instance, in the end of the narrative, even after his resurrection, Jesus is eating fish. And so what is going on? If he's even after resurrection, what happened? If he has supposedly proven that he is a divine being, as Christians would argue, then why is he turning back to food? Why is he coming back and saying, bring me some fish or something like that? And, you know, so it's these are simple arguments. Today's lecture is just simple arguments where God is pointing towards the fact that he always sends messengers, the fact that he sent Jesus Christ just like a messenger. Jesus calls himself a messenger, a prophet, and then he passes away. He dies like other messengers. The Quran is making this argument. The Quran says, furthermore, his mother was a truthful woman. Look at his mother. Because he has a mother, how can he be divine? Right? Human beings are born from human beings. We are the ones, when we reproduce, that's what happens. This is a human being is born. It's not some other species, a human being. And then they both used to eat food. The argument is that they both used to eat food, which is a human requirement. God doesn't need that. So these are three arguments for today's lecture. Very simple arguments. Of course, some of these arguments are more like supportive arguments. The core argument has already gone in the previous lecture, where Jesus never made that claim. That is the core argument, that Jesus never himself claimed to be God. And now these three arguments that I have discussed in this lecture today, based on the writings of the promised Messiah, these are supportive arguments that, you know, not only does he not claim to be God, and not only does he deny claim to divinity, he also shows very human-like characteristics. He demonstrates in his life that he's just simply a human being. So, Jazakallah for listening. We will continue this series and we will move on to the sixth argument and other arguments after that refute the divinity of Jesus Christ.